this place, oh God. Bless this church, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let's bless him with another hand clap together. Good to be here, and we thank Brother and Sister McCoy trusting me and calling on me to come fill in, deliver the word of the Lord. Praise God. It's good to have my daughter with me today. She immediately after this, we're going to head right back home. We have church at 2 o'clock in Osage Beach. Just got back from vacation, and it's a different world out there. Went to Colorado, spent a week there, and then went up to Idaho and back through Wyoming. And even for me, being from Lake of the Ozarks, it's a different world here in Springfield. We've been having full-blown church since May 1st. Have to wear a mask when you go in places. I know that we're naive to the rest of it, and then we got out there on vacation, and I probably walked back to my car 20 times to get a mask to go in a store. There was a few times I walked out of stores because they would not accept cash. That's an eye-opening thing for us, isn't it? It's happening before our eyes. God help us. There's ever a time we need to be connected to God and conscious of what's happening around us. Now is the time. You know, when the children of Israel found themselves in captivity in Babylon, I'm not going to preach about this, but I do feel led to share this. King Cyrus released Nehemiah to go and to rebuild the city. It's amazing to me that there were individuals in captivity that decided to stay in captivity. There were some that didn't want to go back. There were some that had grown comfortable in the place where they were at. I believe this world is going to get pretty uncomfortable before it's over. If it wasn't for the things that we're facing, we would just be comfortable where we're at, and there wouldn't be a desire for another place to go back and rebuild the city. And I feel led to share that because I feel that I'm among people, Joshua and Caleb's, that want to take the land. You're dreamers. Praise God. I know some things that y'all been through. Psalms 126 says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Praise God. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in his sheaves. Praise God. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Praise God. I believe in the last days only the dreamers are going to survive this thing. Only those that are dreaming and looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That is our focus, praise God. We cannot get comfortable in captivity. We can't get comfortable with what this world hands us, praise God. But we've got to set our affections on things above, church. Praise God. Let's magnify the Lord together. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17, starting at verse 8. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God will use some of the strangest things to sustain his people. So he arose and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. A handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She didn't have much to speak of. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. That's the spirit that we are addressing in our world today, fear. That's the spirit that Elijah addressed in this situation. Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. That's a pretty tall order. I'm not a mother, but I'm sure you mothers could connect with that a little bit more, and knowing that you're collecting the last of what you have, and you're going to go and feed it to your son, and you're both going to eat it and die. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. God used Elijah to give this widow an opportunity to be sustained in a time of famine, or as we could relate to it, a time of fire, a time of trial, praise God, a time of pestilence. We can relate to this story a little bit more after March of this year. Now we can really kind of connect with that. Maybe we're a little bit far removed from that, and we're digesting how the world has changed. The world has forever changed around us. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. I'm going to preach to you today about having faith in the fire. This is a word that I believe that God has given me for this present time in which we live. As I prayed about this service Friday morning here at this church, I felt God leading me to share this word. It is relevant because of the times in which we live, but more importantly, I believe and feel that it is a word for this church and this congregation. Many of you have been through the fire. Maybe you're going right now through the fire. Many of you have been burned by the fire. I'm going to preach to you today about having faith in the fire. Paul told Timothy that it is in the last days perilous times would come, and uncertain things, insecure, and in other words, shaky times will come. Anyone feel that tremble in their spirit in this day and time? Jesus spoke concerning the end of time in Matthew 24:7, saying, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. A lot of those things we have seen and faced here in America. We must believe today that God is in complete control. I know we're sitting here and we're spread out and we got our mask on and it's hard to worship, but God is in control, praise God. Hallelujah. Our job today is to preach the kingdom of God and to pray His kingdom and to reach for a kingdom that is not of this world. Times are trying to everyone. But God is in control, and we must believe, as it is written in Romans 8 and 28 in this time, that we know that all things will work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. We are still His people. We have still been called by His name. He's still going to work everything out for our good. Praise God. I believe that today. We got to learn to have faith in the fire. We've got to learn to have faith when things don't look so good. That widow woman, she was going to gather two sticks, and she was cooking all that she had, and death was her sentence in her mind. But God presented her with an opportunity to be sustained during a famine, to be sustained during the fire. God will present you with an opportunity, people of God, to be sustained. In Ephesians 4:5-27, it says that He might present to Himself a glorious church. God's in control. Everyone say that together. God's in control. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. The church, the people, the body is important to God. We are the bride of Christ. Nothing shall separate us from His love. Romans 8 and 38, for I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. We don't know what is to come. Nor height nor death nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Things present nor things to come do not change the love that God has for His church and for His people. Things present nor things to come do not change God's commitment to the church. And hear me here right now. And things present nor things to come should not change our commitment to God, to the kingdom of God, to the church. I know you're here today because you're not letting things present change your commitment. God is not going to let things present change His commitment to you. And whatever is to come, God is still committed to getting us to heaven. Let's magnify the Lord together. Praise God. God's prophetic promises to you and to the church have not changed. Now, just a few months ago, or around February, we were at church, and we've been there 3 years in Osage Beach, and the church, God has blessed us, and we were growing, and we were hitting 70, and we're in a small room. Well, we've got 3,800 square feet where we're at. It's kind of a storefront, and the office next to us just became available, and I was feeling like it's time to expand. We're going to tear down this wall. And then COVID hit. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm glad we didn't tear down that wall. But God knew. God knows. If it was the will of God before, it's still the will of God after. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's promises to you and to the church have not changed. Therefore, our commitment to Him and our trust in Him and our faithfulness to the church should not change. There are trying times before us, times of uncertainty, possibly times that we will truly see what our faith is made of. But I believe that God has perfectly designed it so to do something within the church. At some point, never in the history of mankind has the church been affected worldwide like it has been in the last few months. And so at some point, we've got to look up and say, okay, God, what are You trying to get us to learn? What should we do from here? And who are we supposed to be after this and through this? God, what is it You're trying to do in me? Instead of just looking around and we can't wait until the end, until things go back to normal and we're back in our comfort zone. Well, maybe our comfort zone is captivity. Maybe our comfort zone is keeping us from doing the will of God.
Hallelujah.
God has perfectly designed it so to do something within us. This is not a strange thing to God. What we are going through, or even what you may be personally going through today, don't think it strange. 1 Peter 4 and 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Think it not strange. God is not surprised. But rather understand that we are being positioned for His glory to be revealed in us. Romans 8 and 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For some there is suffering in our world. There is sickness and even divisions and tension and civil unrest. There is hard times, troubles. But I would tell you, whatever we must go through, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that He shall reveal in us." God knows exactly what He is doing. Let's magnify the Lord together. Hallelujah. There are prophetic end time utterances currently being fulfilled concerning the perilous times and pestilence that we face. But don't forget, there are also prophetic promises being fulfilled. Acts 2 and 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy," praise God, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out of those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. While there are signs in heaven and signs in earth, God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. Now, a couple weeks ago at church, we had this young lady. She brought her cousin, and for a few services, they sat there and they watched. After one service, they came up to me, and I know the one young lady. We've been working on that family for a long time, but this is two 16-year-old girls who came to church all on their own, and they said, "We got to tell you something," and they were feeling bad and guilty and began to confess some things that they had been out doing, and they continued. They came another service, and that next service, they were sitting right there, and they began to worship, and God poured out His Spirit and filled those two young ladies with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Now, we've baptized about six, and several have been filled with the Holy Ghost since this COVID thing has started. It's a promise, praise God. "And it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm here to tell you that humanity is calling. Humanity is reaching. I'll share a little bit more with you here in a little bit, but a few weeks ago on June 26th, I remember that because it's in my phone. A friend that I had from 14 years ago, he sent me a message, and I hadn't talked to him in 14 years. Before that, we were wild and crazy and drugs and all of that, and he sent me a message, and he said, "How did you do it? How did you finally get free and stay free?" And so I said, "The Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost." That's all I said. "You need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need to repent. You need to be born again of the water and Spirit." And I didn't hear anything back from him, this Facebook messenger. And so when he did that, I went to search, and I was like, okay, I got to find a church close to him. Well, he's in Virginia. And so I asked some people, "Do you know where there's a good church in Virginia, in central Virginia?" No one replied. And so I let it go. And 2 weeks later, we have men's prayer 6:30 Saturday morning at the church. And I got up and I got to the church, and boom, he's an hour ahead of me. And he sent me a message and said, God spoke to me. And he told me some things the Lord told him. And he wasn't raised in church and not conscious. It's not a normal thing for him to say, God spoke to me. And I thought, oh goodness, I've got to find him a church. And so I got up on the UPCI page and I found the closest apostolic church, UPC Church, and I sent it to him. And he said, that church is right down the road from me. He said, I take my son there. That's my son's favorite playground to play at. He said, we just bought fireworks from their fireworks stand and they stuck a card in there. He was already connected to the church. He said, I'm going to go tomorrow. He went the next day, and boom, he walked in the doors, and someone, I don't even know who it was preaching, ministering to him. He came to the altar for like 2 hours, repented, received the Holy Ghost. He's been in every service since. I'm telling you, people are calling on Jesus. Hallelujah. Humanity is calling in their weakness. I would tell you perhaps it is the signs are designed to cause us to call. The things that we're facing, they're designed to cause us to call. If it wasn't for the adversity and the affliction upon us, no one would be calling on Jesus. Perhaps God has caused a discomfort in this world so that we might look for another world. I'm telling you that as long as this world is comfortable, y'all know what I'm talking about. You've gotten comfortable in the world. You've had those thoughts, well, I just hope I can live into a ripe old age and enjoy all the things of this world and all these earthly pleasures. But if it wasn't for the adversity and for the affliction that is upon us, would we be looking for another world? We are in danger of being comfortable. Some folks don't even think about heaven because they're so comfortable in this world and they've got it so good in this world. If there is ever going to be a mass revival with millions coming to God, it calls for something that will affect the masses and millions upon the face of the world. We can't have revival without persecution or affliction. The reality is humanity calls on God when we are afflicted. I don't know about you, but I was afflicted when I began to look for another. I was afflicted when I started to pray for the first time at 21 years old. I was in a bad situation. There's just something about it that when we become hurt and when there's pain and there's affliction in our life, we begin to look for something greater than us. We pray when there's pain. There is a shaking in our world today. Many of us have looked at our children and we've said, we've never been at this place before. I've never seen it like this before. And I can't tell you what is going to happen in the world. Anyone said that lately? Hebrews 12 and 26 says, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Things have been shaken around us that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Praise God. I'm glad you're still here today. There's some people that were here in February. They're not here now because they did not remain. There was a shaking and they did not remain, but you're here in the house of God. Come on, someone declare it. I'm here. I may have been shook a little bit, but I'm here today. It is the shaking of the movable, the removing of the uncertain things, the threshing of the excess that brings to light and brings to focus and enhances those things that shall remain. And in the end, the church, His church, the kingdom of God, shall remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God, He is a consuming fire. Sometimes things have got to shake us to get us to serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear. While the world goes into survival mode, I'm telling you, it's time for the church to go into revival mode. Don't let this thing set you back too much, praise God. The promises of God, they were here in February. They're still here in August. First Corinthians 3 and 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort he is. The day is declaring it. We have no choice. The day is declaring it. It is demanded that every man's work, what every man has built, what every man has spent his time doing, it shall be revealed by fire. Fire has a way of stripping away the facade. Often fire will consume the outer layers only to reveal the structure and to reveal the foundation. It's inevitable. Our faith will be revealed by fire. My words to you today, what God is looking for today is a church, a people that are faithful in the fire, that are steadfast and unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord despite the current conditions of the world. We've got to be faithful in the fire. Faithful when things don't look so good to the carnal man. A faithful person believes that which is happening in the unseen is that which is greater than what we're seeing in the present world. It may not look good, but I believe that God is doing something good. This world may not look good, but God is doing something good. I've got to have faith in the fire. 1 Peter 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, but by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There is an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. It fadeth not away. It cannot be shaken. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation to be revealed in the last time. We have got to have faith, and we have got to live by faith, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Will our faith be found following the fire? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming in an hour that we think not. He posed the question in Luke 18 and 8. He said, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?
In Matthew 24 and 29, he said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. After the tribulation, after the fire, we pray the kingdom comes. But what comes with the kingdom is tribulation. In Acts chapter 14 and 21, it says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Through much tribulation, through the fire, enter into the kingdom of God. We've got to keep faith in the fire. Be faithful in the fire. Tell your neighbor, be faithful in the fire. Even when your temporal is touched, our heart cannot be moved. Even if you lose your job, even if something offends you, even if it doesn't work out your way, be faithful in the fire. Hear me, this is key to survival in the last days. As we read in 1 Kings 17. So he arose and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was gathering her two sticks, and he called to her and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it, and he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal. That's usually what we do when God asks of us to sacrifice or to give something. We start looking at the little that we have, right? Well, I've only got this. And a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die. And Elijah said, fear not. We need to be preaching that. Fear not. Fear not. Even when the temporal is touched, even when there's sickness, fear not. Fear will stop you from being faithful in the fire. Fear will help you to rationalize and make excuse of not doing what you should do. Fear will cause you to do the wrong thing with what you have. He said, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. It was a time of pestilence, a time of fire. Elijah directly addressed the fear that was within this woman. He said, fear not. If you're expecting God to bless you and to provide for you, we cannot react out of fear. The Lord gave me this word when the virus first hit for our congregation, and I started worrying about the people. I wasn't really worried about the church or the finances of the church, because God has provided for Landmark since day one, and the church is good, everything is well. But I felt a shaking in my spirit for the people, and the Lord gave me this word, and I put it into them. Don't be afraid, don't fear, but you will be accountable for what you do with what you have. And at the beginning, and even now, we still don't know how all of this is going to pan out, and our economy is going to be affected, and our jobs and all of those things. And I said, the power to sustain you is that you do the right thing with what you have. It doesn't matter how much you have or how little you have. I'm talking about insurance. This is my insurance with God. I'm faithful to God. I pay my tithes. I give my offering. Not just that, when the Lord moves me to do something, to give something, I've got to do it. That's our sustainability. If this woman would have rejected the word of the Lord, her and her son would have died. I'm preaching to the church, to the people of God. You're givers, you know, I'm telling you, don't let fear set into your spirit. And I'm not just talking about giving to the church. I'm talking about being faithful with whatever you have, so that you can, so that when hard times come and your temporal is touched, you can fall on your face and you can say, God, I have given. I have done what you have asked. The widow, she was presented with an opportunity. Otherwise, her and her son would have eaten and been dead. I don't know about all of the situations here in Springfield, the jobs or financial situations, but I do know that the key to sustaining us through affliction and sustaining through times of famine and hard times is being faithful in the fire. Things that didn't look so good for this widow at that time. She had already determined, I'm just going to go gather my two sticks and I'm going to cook my last meal, and me and my son, we're going to die. Although she didn't have much, God gave her an opportunity to be sustained during a famine. A time when people were doing without, when others were dying. God gave her an opportunity to take the little that she had and put it into His hands and see a miracle, a provision. I'm telling you, if your family is going to be sustained, you've got to be faithful in the fire. I'm telling you that if you're faithful in the fire, your barrel will not run empty. I'm not telling you this for the benefit of the church, but for the benefit of the people of God and for your family and those that you love. You've got to be faithful in the fire, and not just about finances and having food, but you've got to be faithful in prayer and supplication unto the Lord, so that your spirit will be taken care of and you'll be in tune with the Holy Ghost. My friend Josh that I just spoke of, who the Lord has moved miraculously in his life, and he had gotten strung out on drugs for 2 years, and he was looking for answers, and he asked me, how did you do it? How did you get out? And I told him the Holy Ghost, and it's just a miracle what has happened in his life. But that morning when I sent him the message with the address of the church, he said, God spoke to me. He said, I woke up and I was laying on the couch. His wife had just left him. We took the two younger boys, and he had his older son there with him. She got tired of it after time and time again, him not straightening up, and he continued doing drugs, and she left him. And he woke up one morning, and the TV was on upstairs in his son's room, and he sat there, and he felt like he needed to go watch it. And there was some preacher on there, I don't know who it was, and the Lord used him to minister to him, and he began to pray and call out, and he felt convicted in his spirit, and he said, I've got to sow a seed. Of course, you know, that's what a televangelist is talking about, right? Sowing seed. So he's telling me all this, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, okay. I still don't know who it was that was on the TV. And whoever it was, they convinced him he needed to sow a seed. And he said, you're the first one I thought of. And I believe it was Deuteronomy 1:11. Maybe that was a scripture that the guy on TV was using or whatever. He said, I need to send you $111. And his wife stopped by and she gave him the checkbook. He said, I never had the checkbook before, but now we're splitting up. She gave me the checkbook. He said, I checked in the account and there was $111. And he sent to our church everything he had. He was desperate. I'm not telling you to do that. But the next day, he was born again of the water and spirit. The next day, his life was transformed forever. I mean, he's on fire. He's calling me. He's trying to get his wife to come to church. You know, in Virginia, there's a law that you can't get a divorce after for a year. He said, I got a year. If you've got children, you cannot get a divorce for a year after you've been separated. And so he's got a year to get his family back. Praise God. I'm telling you, God's working a miracle. But something happened, and he said, and it's just an amazing story how God gave him the number, and then his wife gave him the checkbook, and that was all that was in the account, and he sent it to our church. Or actually, no, he gave it online. And I believe that it's sustaining him right now. He said, well, now he's got he just got a job last weekend, $5 more an hour. He's making $25 an hour. He's an electrician. He told me, well, I hadn't seen an immediate return on the finances, but I've been blessed. I'm telling you, your sustainability in a time of famine and despair depends on what you do with what you have, no matter what it is. We're talking about a man in his 30s, he has a family, and all he had was $111 to his name. That's not much, but he made up in his mind, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And when the Lord moved on him, he moved, and I'm telling you, that's what's sustaining him right now. He went to church, got the Holy Ghost. He's been there every day since. Now he's taking his boys. She's letting him take his little boys. He's got to move out. Pastor says, I got a house. Tomorrow, I think it is, he'll be staying in that house. This is a man who has no background with God, with the church. But he took what he had. And God is sustaining him. God's going to put his family back together. God's going to continue to bless him. We cannot, even though when we're just born again, it seems like we're willing to do anything, right? But then as we grow and through the years, we get a little bit calloused and a little bit more analytical. This is still the way God works. We must be faithful in the fire. Faith when we don't have the end of a solution, or we don't have a solution already figured out. It's easy to have faith when all is well and we can see miracles that are before us and we can feel His presence and we can see Him moving in a mighty way. It's easy to have faith in those times. But what about the times when we cannot see and the times that we do not know the end of a thing and we cannot feel Him? Even in those times, we must still believe that God is still doing something great. My challenge to every believer that would hear this in this sanctuary and even on the internet today is to be faithful in the fire. If you're struggling and you're not making ends meet, be faithful in the fire. Be faithful with the little that you do have. Don't accept the death sentence. Don't say, well, that's it. Me and my son, we're just going to take what we have. We're going to eat it and die. That is not the end that God has planned for the church. Be faithful when you can feel the heat. Be faithful when you don't know the end, and faithful in opposition. Nebuchadnezzar commanded the three Hebrews to worship his golden image. Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I'm telling you, we are going to be forced into a place, the church, the people of God, we are being pushed into a place where we will have to make those declarations. No, we've already made up in our mind. We're not careful in this matter. We're not willing to waver here. And the world is going to push us to the point. There's a reason you can't go in a lot of stores and pay with cash. At some point, we are going to have to make a decision. But they said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat up the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego declared, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We are going to have faith even if we are faced with the fire. Daniel 3:25, Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He answered, and he said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like of the Son of God. The greatest witness that we can give to the world right now is to be faithful in the fire. There is nothing that tells us that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that there was a fourth man in the fire with them. But the world looking in knew. The world looking in could see there was a fourth man, and he's like the Son of God. I'm telling you, we have to be faithful in the fire. Hallelujah. I'm not going to bow to fear. I know what we are seeing and hearing. It's not good, but I believe in the unseen and that God is doing something greater that we cannot see. Praise God. Can we stand to our feet today? I thank you for your attention, and those that are watching on the internet. We are being tried. The church is being tried. We're chartering new territory. But we are in the hands of God. He still loves us. He's still coming back for a glorious church. God's plan for you did not change because of COVID and because of the state of the world. I know we had plans. We had ideas that have changed. But God's plan has not. This church is a church with destiny. The church that Jesus is returning for. Every man's work is being made manifest and being revealed by fire. My encouragement to you today, whatever you face presently, whatever those things present are, be faithful with what you have. So that when the Master returns, we will be found faithful and we can enter into the joy of the Lord. Even if what you have is not much today, be faithful with it. And it will be enough to sustain you. That's my plan. That's my insurance policy for my family. I know there is pressure and there is temptation to do whatever or to not do the right thing. But be faithful with what you have. And it will sustain you. Hallelujah. I believe that the unjust servant in Matthew 25 that was cast into hell, it was not because of the amount that he had, but because he did nothing with what he had. Be faithful in the fire. Faithful in prayer. Faithful in the word. Faithful to the church. Faithful to the kingdom of God. Faithful in your finances. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Hallelujah. Your faithfulness in the famine or the fire has the ability to sustain. Can we declare, can we lift our hands? Say, Lord, I hear the word today, Jesus. God, would you help us in times of temptation and unrest, God, to just be faithful with what we have, Lord, to be consistent and steadfast and unmovable. Come on, you're here, you're remaining here because you've been shaken. Everybody's been shaken, the world has been shaken, but you remain today because of your faithfulness. Your family's been provided for today because you've been faithful. And maybe if you're lacking in something today, I challenge you to put it in the hands of God as that widow did when she was lacking. The barrel was empty and the oil was gone and God gave her an opportunity to be sustained in the family. Can we worship the Lord in song together in Jesus' name?